The Gemara deals with what is the nature of a harchaka between eating meat and milk. And the sugi we're going to be dealing with first.
The nature of
the iser of eating milk and meat in sequence. We're going to discuss if you eat meat first, how much time you have to wait for milk. Eat milk first, how much time you have to wait for meat. We'll see tonight that it's not as simple as people think. And the sugya is on Daf Kufhei in Masechtas Chulin. Well, you see in the Gemara piece on the bottom where it says A on the bottom part of the Gemara. We're going to start with the Gemara says, Boy mine Rav Asi Merav Yochanan. Rav Asi asked from Rav Yochanan the following question. Kama Yisha Bein Basa Glavina. When you're eating meat and you go to cheese, to dairy, how much time do you have to wait? Omalei v'lav klub. You don't have to wait at all. You go straight from meat to milk. So the Gemara says, Ini, could that be possibly what he said? For Omar Rav Chista is recorded holding, Ochel basa, if a person ate basa, Asa lechel gavina. You can't eat cheese or milchiks afterwards. However, if you ate gavina first, if you ate milchiks first, mutar lechel basar, you're allowed to eat meat afterwards. So therefore, if that's the case, what we want to know now is kama yisha ben gavina labasar? Between cheese first and meat afterwards, how much time do you have to wait in between? For that, there is no official time, which means according to halacha, we're going to see very shortly, you can go to milk from milchiks to fleishiks. There's no official time frame. If people wait time today, it's based upon not a Talmudic source, it's based upon a Zohar Kabbalistic source, which I'll get to later on. But according to Dina de Gemara, you can go from milchiks to fleishiks. What else you have to do in between, that we're going to get to also when it comes to halacha lemasa. But when it comes to Zman Hamtana, there's no time frame of waiting whatsoever. Now the Gemara continues. Gufa, the Gemara goes into a much more in-depth analysis of this. Amarav Chista, Ochal Basar, if a person ate meat, Asalechal Gavina, you can't eat cheese afterwards. Gavina, if you ate cheese first, Mutalechal Basar, you can eat meat afterwards. So Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Yisrael Rav Chista, Basa Shebein Hashinayim Mahu, what's the problem? What's the halachic status of a person ate meat, and then later on you find there are vestiges of meat caught between the crevices of your teeth? Is that still considered meat or not when it comes to the isla bas v'chalav? As long as you have vestiges of meat between your teeth, you can't partake of milchiks. So Kari Alei, upon this question, he brought the pasuk habasa odena bein shinehem. That even when you have vestiges of meat between crevices of the teeth, the Torah B'Gzeres HaKasuv says it's still called meat, and therefore the prohibition of eating milk after meat still applies, which means that any time you have any leftover vestiges of meat stuck between your teeth, you can't partake of milchiks until you get rid of them. Now, we come to the most revolutionary part of today's daf. Omar Ma'ukfa. Ma'ukfa made the following comment. Anolah Milsa, I vis-a-vis the following halacha, am chala b'chamra, am vinegar, the son of wine. Legabi, I have a concern to the religious activities of my father. My father is vinegar. My father forgive me his wine. I'm looked upon to be on a level, and if I consider myself vinegar vis-a-vis his wine observance of Torah. And why does he say this? Dilo Abba, when it comes to my father, ki havi ochel bisra. When he was going to partake of meat, he used to wait between milk and meat for 24 hours. When it comes to little me, who's not on the spiritual plane, my father, I don't eat meat and milk in the same meal, but I will eat meat in one meal and milk in the meal afterwards. But I surely don't wait 24 hours. What you don't know from the Gemara is what is the Zman Hamtan according to Mar Ukva. He doesn't follow his father's minig, but he does follow some other halachic format, and we're left hanging in the air and not knowing exactly what is the framework of the Zman Hamtana. Now, before I get into that machlokes, which is going to open up your eyes and open up your mouth as well, I just want to mention parenthetically that the Pri Chadosh says upon this last three lines a very important chiddush when it comes to the concept of minig avos. There's no question, according to halacha, that Ma'ukva's father, who waited for 24 hours between meat and milk, had superimposed upon himself a chumra of his own accord, a super chumra that nobody else ever adhered to. And Ma'ukva could obviously did not feel the incumbency of Altitosh Tavos Emechav Avicha to follow his father's minik. So the question is why? So the Pri Chadosh tells us in his Kuntres on Minhagim a very important sod when it comes to the din of Minhagim. Minig HaMakom is powerful enough as a Minig HaMakom to mechayev all the residents of that Makom in that Minig, Lakula Uluchumra. So when an established area makes a Minig HaMakom, that Minig applies to all the residents. It's the din of Minig HaMakom. When it comes to Minig of a Yachid, of a Mishpacha member, I don't care who it is, in this case, the father of the mishpacha, if he takes upon himself a specific minig of chumra in halacha, he made the declaration. He was menader iser upon himself as to be this specific minig, and he has to adhere to it. If he wants to be matter that iser, he has to go to a bezdin or to a group of three people to be matter neder. But his children don't have the incumbency of taking upon themselves the chumra that a parent accepts upon themselves. Because if that was not the case, if minig of a yachid is as powerful as the minig of a tzibur, then Ma'ukves should have therefore adhered to the 24-hour stringency of his father. By the fact that he's my father's a chumra, he's wine, he's a mach mishen kamayu, ich ben amekal, I don't wait that time. It shows you that he had no problem whatsoever of saying publicly, even though my father has this minig of chumrah, I bedafka don't adhere to it, and I mit to such, and the Gemara does not censure him on any level. Listen. So therefore, according to the Pri Chadosh, he therefore points out that our Gemara therefore is the source, that minig of a yachid, even a parent, is not mechayev the children lahalacha. Now, a child, if they want to take upon themselves that minig, gesundheit, but if a child erroneously thinks that they have to follow the minig of avos, they didn't think they had a choice, and they started following the minig of avos, and then later on they find out they did not have the chiyuv to follow that minig, they don't need hataras and nedra, they don't have to go to a bezdin, it's batal memela because it was a kabbalah b'taus, and that is derived from this little incident. And what's your question, Tzvi?
Machmir
on himself and somebody who has a minute. I'm sure he didn't do it. People machmir. They choose to be machmir. Rabbi Yaakov
was machmir on himself. He didn't interpret something.
Fine,
like
but he allowed his children and grandchildren to do
it.
It doesn't make a difference.
There's no difference.
Even if he told his children to be machmir, he could not mechayev them to be machmir. That's exactly what the Pri Chadosh says.
I understand that. Really a minute.
What's a minute?
Let's say it came down from his father to his father.
That's not a minute.
That would be a minute.
That's a personal chumra of Yechidim. That's a personal chumra of Yechidim. Yeah. If you yourself can put it upon yourself. But your father and grandfather can't put it upon you. Only a tzibur can put it upon the residents of that community, the Pri Chadosh says. And the Gemara quotes stories in Masechtas Pesachim, other places, certain places had chumras.
The tzibur is also, usually, it's a tzibur.
It goes from a tzibur, but
you don't know its origin, usually.
Well, then you have to find out, because according to Pri Chadosh, that's the whole major criteria.
Where did the minute come from?
What?
It's
not lavdaf. It's b'teres yachid, b'teres tzibur. Tzvi, listen carefully. Mm-hmm. If a tzibur starts a minig, a community minig, that's a community minig. If a private individual starts a minig, that's his private minig. The fact that a lot of people later on accept his minig, that doesn't mean he became a communal minig. Unless the chevra of the community, unless the tuvei ir say this is a minig habaka. If it's not established as a minig ha-makom, it's not mechayiv. A minig ha-yachid is not mechayiv. Minig ha-tzibur is mechayiv. Yes?
If the father did not have a yachid, his own, the father had this tzibur because the tzibur then, his tzibur then had that yachid. 6 hours, that's what the tzibur had.
Now,
today he lives in Germany and everybody's three. What happens?
So the concept you're referring to comes under a different getter. And that is, the concept of 24 hours, nobody ever established.
Yes.
That's the minute. Yes. When it comes to whether you wait 6 hours, that is a minute that was established by a tzibah, not by a yachid. And that's a different concept. It might be the same topic, but it depends upon who established it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he has to stick with his 6 hours.
So if you're part of the Ashkenazi community, we'll see very shortly. If you're part of that community, they hold 6 hours. You have to hold 6 hours. If you're part of the Holland community, you're a Sephardi, and they hold 1 hour, that's your minik. And if you're part of the Yekusha community, you hold 3 hours, and you're part of that community, you hold that minik. What's interesting when it comes to that minhag is it's not based upon physical location anymore. It's become like an established minig of the Ashkenazim, of certain Sfardim, of the German community, no matter where they are on the face of this earth. That's their communal minig, which they have to basically adhere to. The only time a person can change the minig, if a woman marries a husband, and there's a discrepancy between the husband's minig and her minig, so if she, according to some, have a chiv to change the minig of the husband, some say it's a rishus, but under normal circumstances, if you're bound by a minig of a malka, minig of a tzibur, you are mechuyiv to follow the minig, no matter where you are, unless we're dealing with a case of a minig that's not based upon a group of people, it's based upon a community. Many times we had in the Gemara in Masechtas Pesachim and in Chulin, when it came to certain differences in kashrus between Babylonia and Eretz Israel. So there we saw very definitively that in Eretz Israel they were machmir with a certain type of cut of meat. In Eretzel, they were basically Mekel. So there, the person who traveled from Eretzel to Babylonia, back and forth, whether or not he had to accept upon himself the Chumra Meminik Sheyatzis or Mamakim Sheyahalach Lasham, the Chumra is only Mdaita Lachsa. If he basically had a mind to uproot himself from that Kehila where he came from and become part of a new Kehila, he's then bound with Kulul Chumra vis-a-vis the new Minik Hamakim itself. But that's a din in Minik Hamakim. In Minik of Yechidim, if you make a minig for yourself, it's b'teris, shavach echtichad esur, it's isa neder, and you have to adhere to it. You can't force the minig chumra of a private person on another individual, even your child. That's the chiddush. But I don't want to dwell because that's not the purpose of tonight's shiur. Let's go now into the crucial factor of what Mar Ukva himself actually did. He says, I waited between Suda and Suda. So if you look on Tosus on the side, Tosus says, this is page number 4, on the left-hand side, all the way down, which is B in the text, the Suda Achrid Achilna, Lo Besudasa Shiragilan Lasas Achas Shachas V'Achas Arvis. What Tosus wants to tell you very carefully over here is that Bezman HaGemara, the Gemara tells us in Masech to Shabbos Taf Yud, that people who were Talmid Chacham used to have 2 meals a day, one in the 6th hour of the day in the morning, and one in the 6th or 7th hour in the afternoon time frame. So there are 2 meals a day with a 6 hour difference between those sudos. If that's the case, between suda and suda normally means 2 sudas that are separated by a 6 hour time frame. Taisa says in this Gemara, don't interpret it that way. Suda and suda, this means one meal and a separate meal that are divided by a Birchas HaMazon or Bracha Achrona, 2 different identified meals. We'll see very shortly, to make it a different meal, it has to be Bracha Achrona plus Seil Kashulchan, taking away the stuff from the table, and therefore setting up a brand new Suda, a new meal itself. So Taisa says, La B'Suda Shri Lecha B'Achus Achas B'Arvis, Ela Filu La'Alter, Im Seil Kashulchan U'Berach Mutu D'Lo Palag Rabbana. According to Taisa's, what Taisa says you theoretically can do, and this is important, I can have a geshmak of Fleshik Asuda. Wonderful. I decide I'm finished and I want to have milchiks. I make a brach achrona. If I washed, the brachs of Muslims is a brach achrona. If I only ate meat without bread, I make a burning of fashas. After that, I basically take away the table, take off the tablecloth. That's called Siluk HaShulchan Uberich. I can then immediately set the table anew and go straight to eating milchiks without a problem, without any zman hantana. However, over here I want to mention to you that the Rishayim, based upon previous sugis, point out that in order to go from fleshiks to milchiks, I need two more things. I have to do hadachis hayadai, which means I have to wash my hands for any remnants of fleshik and stuff I was eating. I have to do kinuach hapeh, which requires a liquid and solid to clean out my teeth and all of that part of the area. Once I do kinuach and I do hadacha, and I was mesalek l'shulchan b'bracha achrona, according to Shitas Tesvis, there's no zman hamtana whatsoever, which means according to Tesvis, the Iser of Bas B'chalav on this Derabbanim level, because they're not being cooked together, Rabbi Isai. We're now defining, as I mentioned last week, the level of Chumrah of Bas B'chalav the Chazal made as a din of Chumrah. We're talking about eating milk and meat together, which is purely rabbinical in nature. And over here we're talking about not eating them simultaneously, we're talking about eating them in sequence. That according to the Balei Tesvis, Chazal asked the Bas B'chalav, eating them even in sequence, the Issa was is to eat them simultaneously. The Issa was to eat them in the context of one meal. Once I basically make it into a different meal, and not only that, but I take any physical remnants of meat that's on my body and my teeth and mouth out, so therefore it's a sila kasuda, and there's no physical remnant of meat in my mouth anymore. That takes care of the problem, and the Issa Basa B'chala being consumed, B'basacha, Sazeh HaChazeh, does not apply according to the Bavli Tesis.
Does that apply if you go from the dining room to a tea room?
From what perspective? You go from one table to another? Yeah. That's a Silika Shulchan, but you have to make the Baruch HaChrona in between. That's a crucial factor. It doesn't have to be the same table reset, just a different table, different setting, to show like a Parim Chadashas. That's Shitas HaTesis. And there's no question that this Taisvis Shita was said by Taisvis, but in actuality, the Riazakin is given the credit for this Shita Taisvis as well. The Ravio, which means in the German Jewish community of the Rishonim, it seems this was also a prevalent minig, not to wait any time in between. And the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that according to this specific Shita, you have to have Hadach v'kinuach between the fleshik and the milchik, because you're not waiting any time frame in between, so there has to be kinuach v'hadacha. And what's also important, according to the specific shita, as we're going to see very shortly, is this specific minig of Klal Yisrael, of doing this, the Ramah records, was initially very prevalent in the Polish Ashkenazic communities of Europe. But they added in one feature. They waited 1 hour between fleshiks and milchiks. And where that hour came from, because according to the Tesvis, and according to the way he interprets, there's no hour. So the Gra explains upon that Ramah why there was initially an hour of hiatus, is because there's a Zohar. The Zohar says that bas b'chalav should not be eaten b'suda achas u'b'shait achas, in one meal and in one time frame. If that's the case, shait achas means at least in an hour. So they interpret the Zohar to mean there has to be at least a hefsek zman of an hour between fleishiks first and milchiks after. So therefore, it's not b'shas achas. Siluk and bracha achrona make sure it's not suda achas. So that's where the minig initially of the Ashkenazic Polish community waiting 1 hour was taking this tesis and superimposing the chumrah of the zayar. Where you have the hour in between. Ironically, today in the world, the community that holds this minig is the Svadisha community in Holland. You know, the interesting, it's something to do with a sociological study, that it started off in Ashkenazic Poland, and Svablonja Gevorim, and the ones who still adhere to this specific kula are the Svadim and Holland. It'd be interesting to see how this happened, but that's basically are those who adhere to this very day. But that's a chumrah on Shitas HaTesvis, because according to Tesvis, no zman is needed, only shouldn't be besud achas, and no hefsek zman was required according to Shitas Tesvis. That's Shita number one in this specific sugya.
When did they decide on the 6 hours?
We're gonna get to everything. You're gonna have a total disclosure tonight. That I will tell you. There'll be no problem. I also want to mention to you that the Sefer Issa Vehetta, which is one of the Svarim of the early Achrenim in the Ashkenazic world, and the Sefer called Shari Dura, also seem to prescribe to the Shita the Balei Tesis awaiting the 1 hour between the Fleishiks and between the Milchiks. I just want to see something over here, if I left anything out that I haven't mentioned up until this point in time. It seems that the Taz records in Shulchan Aruch that there were some Rishonim who were not happy with a person purposely eating a fleishik meal and bedafka doing what I just mentioned with the kavana to eat milchiks after, which means, according to some Baalei Tesvis, by using this specific heter, you're like being a manuvel b'rishus ha-teira. So sometimes it's one thing you ate fleishiks, and then you went salak, and then afterwards you decide I want to eat milchiks initially, so you don't have to wait. But to do it, amanas, to do that, some had hesitancy, but the Ramah says, despite the fact that some criticized that, the Ramah says the minig was, is not to be machmir vis-a-vis that, and if you hail from that shita, you can even do it l'chachila without any shalos whatsoever. I do want to mention to you that since you're waiting 1 hour, which is a churman shita setesvis, so there's another machlekis over here. Listen to this. Taisvis said you didn't have to wait at all. Because of the Zohar, we added an hour hafsaka between the fleshiks first and the milchiks afterwards. So there ends up being a machlekes achrayinim, according to the chumrah of the Zohar, when that's added into the picture, does that ameliorate the need for kinuach v'hadacha? Because I'm waiting now. So over here, the Taz and the Minichas Yaakov said, there's still a requirement to have a hadacha and kinuach. The Shach and the Pri Chadash holds, there's no longer need of hadacha. As long as you have an hour hafsaka,
what?
What
do you do with Basa Ben Shinayim?
It means when, if it's still there, you got to take it away. But once you take it away, Farantik, which means you have to make sure that when you're basically about to eat the other stuff, you clean out your cuticles, the teeth, as well as you possibly can before you eat. But as long as you have done that, that's sufficient, at least according, because according to these Rishayim, the inability to clean it thoroughly doesn't seem to be the prerequisite. They want you to wait, the Sudacheres. And number two, they want to make sure that you've rinsed your mouth. If the small little particles that are still there, if they're not Nikolai Naim, they're irrelevant according, because they don't concentrate on any Nesinus time. They're not concerned about flavor of minuscule pieces. They're concerned with the presence of that. If you eradicated the presence by doing the Kinuch V'Hadacha, even though there might be minuscule pieces, that little flavor you get from the minuscule pieces is irrelevant according to this Shitas HaBaalei Tesvis. Now,
what is that? The Danish people, they wait their hours of washing. They do
who? Those.
The
Germans.
The Germans.
Yeah. Right. So the German minig, you should know, in the Shulchan Aruch and the major Nisei Kalim, it's not brought down.
They just wait
an hour. Now, the question is, where did they come from? Where did the 3 hour come from? So the conjecture you have...
But the 1 hour, those people who wait 1 hour.
It's the Shita.
But I'm asking, they also wash their hand and they clean their mouth, or they just wait?
I don't know what they do, but halach lamasa, if they wait 1 hour, it's a machlekes poskim whether you have to wash or not. So I don't know whether they're passing like the Shach, or they're passing like the Tatz. But that's a machlekes poskim. The 3 hour minik is halach lamasa, which is found upon German Jews. The fact of the matter is, that minig itself is coming from German Ashkenazic Jews. If you look in the Shitas HaRishenim on this specific sugya, they basically were holding like Shitas HaBaalei Tesvis that there's no need of any Zman Hamtana whatsoever. It's from Suda L'Suda. Where some put an hour in between because of the Zayar, others said, well, it says Ben Suda L'Suda. In our community, since we eat 3 meals a day rather than 2 meals a day, so the Zman Hamtan is no longer 6, it's basically a 3 hour difference. That's how that minute came into existence. So it's a chumrah upon the Shitas Baalei Tesvis. That's basically what it is. It's a chumrah on the Shitas Baalei Tesvis. But it's predicated upon taking Ben Suda L'Suda and reevaluating that time frame based upon what contemporary, you know, Minhagim in Germany of having 3 meals rather than 2 meals a day. That's basically what that's based upon. It's conjectural. What's interesting is you don't find in the Rishonim that Shita mentioned. You don't find in the early Gedolei HaPoskim, like the Ramah, that minig mentioned. The only minig Hadman he mentioned amongst the Ashkenazi jury is to wait 1 hour between Fleishiks and Milchiks, as I just alluded to. The Ramah mentions that in Peites as the initial minig in Poland amongst Ashkenazi jury that he confronted as he became the Gadol Hadar in that specific community. Now, what I want to do is get to the most popular of them, and that is the 6 hour Shita. Now, the 6 hour Shita is articulated by the Rambam, we'll see very shortly inside, articulated by the Rashba, articulated by the Rosh, and what's interesting is that at the end of the day, the 6 hour source, which I'm going to explain to the particulars, in Jewish history, we see something fascinating happen in Ashkenazic Poland. The Rama, after he mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch the minig of the Balei Tosfos and the 1 hour Chumra, he then says that even though that seems to be the minig in Poland up until this point in time, it is more appropriate for people who are sensitive to Torah of a mitzvah that they should wait the 6 hours between Fleishiks and Milchiks. And then he says, V'chein roi lasais, those three words, that pronouncement of the Rama in the mid-1500s changed the course of most European Ashkenazic Jews forever, and it switched them from the hour Hamtana to a 6 hour Zman. The Rama says, V'chein nochel lasais, that literally changed the minhag hamakom of the Polish community, where it seems the community, when they heard what the Rama said, the Kehillah took upon themselves that this is the better minig. And it's a fascinating historical phenomenon. Chayroi Lassois literally changed the map of the world when it came to this. Now, let us continue. The Shitas HaRambam, which is the first source that really says this very explicitly, is in Yomara Mekamos. Turn up Isai in the Yomara Mekamos to page number 5. Page number 5. Look in Halacha Chav Ches, which deals with our topic. Misho asa basa betchila, whoever ate meat first, bein basa behema, bein basa of, lo yochel acharav chalav, ad shiyeh b'neyem, kedei shir suda cheres, v'hu kamo, it's like sheshos, v'nei habasa shebein hashinayim, shenesra b'kenuach. Now what the Rambam tells us over here is two major factors. He tells us Bein Suda L'Suda is interpreted based upon Talmudic history of meals, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, where there was a 6 hour hiatus in between. So he takes them literally between Suda and Suda. So Mar Ukva waited 6 hours. Number two, he then mentions why you have to wait 6 hours. Because it takes the meat between your teeth, which is not easily removable, about 6 hours to putrefy to such a level it no longer is chashev as meat, and even if there's a remnant left inside after 6 hours, its halach lamasa so deteriorated it is halachly negligible. So according to the Shitas HaRambam, after 6 hours of having basa bein hashinayim, the halach is even if there's still meat between your teeth, the Rambam would hold according to the way they interpret him. There's no chiyuv to remove the meat between your teeth at that point in time. It's no longer considered busted bein shenayim. It's past that level. And halacha masa, it's innocuous. So he gives the reason for the 6 hours and the interpretation of the sugya. That's Shitas HaRambam. I do want to mention to you that in the Tur quotes another opinion for the 6 hour time frame. And some say this is what Rashi means, going back to page number 4. We have quotation C on the right-hand side of the page, on the bottom of the daf, where he says, "Bein basa l'gavina," or where it says C on the right, on the bottom, "Bein basa l'gavina, mash mash achal basa v'roitz lech l'gavina, basa l'gavina mishum de basa motzi shuman," the meat gives off fatty acids, fatty flavors, "who need but prepare," and you sense it in your mouth, "umach betamo." The Torah says it's not just based upon teeth recognition of the flavor. It's based upon that the digestive system takes a long time to digest the meat. And therefore, if that's the case, you have aftertaste, a flavor during the digestion that comes up through the digestive system back into your mouth. So if that's the case, it takes 6 hours to eradicate that type of reaction, to eradicate flavor, not only from your teeth, but from your intestines, from your entire digestive tract, so that you can start eating milkshakes afterwards without having any flavor coming from your previous achila, being nicker in the achila sachalav. They interpret, the Torah interprets at least, what Rashi says is based upon gastrointestinal, impacting upon resurging back into the mouth. It's not based upon basa bein shenayim. And this also requires 6 hours to remedy, and that's the source of the 6 hour hachaka. That's the way the Torah derives and learns the reason for the 6 hour hiatus. Rashi also, in the Torah, alludes to this meaning the 6 hour time frame. So you now have two reasons given by Chazal for the 6 hours, either basa bein shenayim Rambam, or because the basa marech betamo in his digestion, both give reasons for the purposes of 6 hour hamtana. And suda l'suda means literally the sudas bezman hachazal. Now, what I do want to mention to you is that when it comes to this specific opinion, the Miri and Ritva say upon the Rambam, if you're waiting 6 hours between fleishiks and milchiks, you surely don't need hadachas aper and kinuach and richitzas yadayim, because after 6 hours, there's nothing's going to be left over there. The only time you still might need some kinuach and hadacha is that if, we'll see very shortly, there is a machloikus amongst the achrenim, according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, what's the halach if I find meat after the 6 hours in my mouth? According to the way most people learn the Shitas Ram, after 6 hours, it's no longer halach meat, and I don't have to take it out. According to Rashi, Rashi claims the Gzeres HaKasam never told you that in the Gemara. And if that's the case, according to Rashi, as long as there's a meat remnant in my mouth, even after 6 hours, I can be margish it, I still have to remove it. I don't have to wait any more than 6 hours anymore, but it has to be removed. So they point out that one of the nafkamis between Rashi and Rambam is, if I find the meat after 6 hours in my mouth, do I have to remove it? So even according to Rashi, says, I have to remove it, I don't have to wait another 6 hours, I just have to do hadacha v'kinuach and fartik kevarin. According to Rambam, I don't even have to do that, but you should realize there's a machlekes. Now, another thing I want to mention to you is that according to the Yamshel Shlomo and according to the Shach, they point out that this shita requires not only the Zman of Hachaka, but it also requires a Brach Achrona and Silik. Why? Because there has to be Bein Suda L'Suda. To make something a Suda, a different Suda, the previous Suda has to be terminated with a Brach Achrona, and it has to be Masulik. You have to basically disassemble that specific meal. And therefore, according to the Shitas HaRambam and Rashi, I would have to have in between Sila Kasuda, as well as the concept of Brach Achrona, even if it's not benching, but a Brach Achrona to finish the eating. They point out that if I stopped eating and I didn't finish with a Brach Achrona or Masalek, even if I go the whole day more than 6 hours, I can't begin the Milcha Kasuda until I was Masalek. So Silik is crucial in the definition, which means according to the Rambam, between milch, fleishiks and milchiks, I need two things. I need a suda cheres, literally following the lashon of the Gemara, but I also have the eradication of any physical digestion of the meat taking place in any format. That has to terminate, whether it's between my teeth or in my stomach. The actual digestive process has to be completed before I can take of milk. So the two requirements, Silik HaSuda, and that's done by Brach Achron and Siluk. The second thing is total digestion, therefore between my teeth, while it's my stomach pshat, that requires 6 hours to accomplish. If that does not happen, I can't partake of the milk of Kamil. What?
The clock starts ticking when you stop.
Yeah, now the halach is, and this is Rov Hashitas, that you're eating a meal, let's say you had a chasana, this we paskin this way. You had a chasana, and let's say for instance the fleshika part finishes 2 hours before the chasana ends, because after you have the meat, you then have endless dessert, and you keep on eating and eating. So the clock for 6 hours ticks when I finish the meat. It doesn't click after the meal's finished itself. That's the way we pass on that way. There's one sheet of Aruch HaShulchan that held what you thought, but Rav Paskim say, with all due respect to the Aruch HaShulchan, we don't pass on that. We hold, as soon as you finish eating the meat, that's when the clock starts to tick. But there is such a shita who held differently, but we don't pass on that shita. It has to do with the physical digestion. So why do I care whether I finish making the bracha run? It's the mitzias. It's the mitzias. Even the hour, Rabbi Yisai, even the hour between the fleishiks and milchiks of the Balei Teisvis, the hour could hardly be held. Between the fleishik meal before the bracha achrona until you get to the milchik meal, or I made the bracha achrona, I have to wait. That means the idea being is the statement of bracha achrona does not kick in the hour or the 6 hours. Whenever I finish b'metzias, finishing the meat, that's when the hour according to the Balei Teisvis, so the 6 hours according to the Rambam kicks in the formulation of this specific concept.
It has to be full 6 hours, or you have to get
now,
in the 6 hours.
Now, that's what we're talking about. Shama, that's what we're talking about. With having flesh, that's all we're talking about now. I haven't got to the other sequence yet. I haven't got to you. Now, I do want to mention that the Rambam deals with the problem one of you just mentioned to me, and that is, if you look back to the Rambam does something that's very strange and unusual. When he comes to talking in Halacha Chafches on page 5, he says that there has to be Shir Sudacheres, v'hu kemo Shir, like 6 hours. So everybody has to say, what, I mean, either it's 6 or 9, what do you mean kemo Shir Shas? So many Achrayim are makel because of this. They say, approximately 6 hours, but mixas Asher Kashar. So therefore some people wait 5 and a half, some will say, going a couple of minutes into the 6th hour, Shengenik, you know, mixes Hashah Kishah. So you'll find all different types of permutations of this when it comes to human beings. So if that's the case, people have like short days that they want to be Mako, so they'll say, it's Kamai, therefore mixas, the 6 is like the 6. So therefore, let's say, if 6 o'clock would be the 6th hour, 5:10 they start being Mako, because mixes Hashah Kishah. Some say they have to wait a half an hour, but that's what it's predicated upon. The Rambam didn't say Sheisha, he says, Kamo Sheisha. So he basically built in a leniency.
But depending on how long the day was.
Yeah. You should know,
I want to
tell you a secret, that I found in one of the Gedolei Achrayim an interesting chakira. They say, does this depend upon Shoz Manios of Yom Maruchas or Yom Kitzaros? Now, do we say on Yom Maruchas, then you have 6 hours. But when you have Yom Kitzaros, like in the winter time, so maybe it's moved around, so it could end up being 4 hours rather than 6 hours. So one of the critiques that some of the Achrayim had to this Kula de Geshita, if it's based upon digestion, it means you eat quicker and digest better in the winter than in the summer. What's the pshat? I mean, the digestive process, is the hours of the day, is that what speeds up the digestive tract to do it quicker? So some say they don't like that pshat, but there is such a shita.
But it doesn't work out anyway, because the night hours are longer than the day hours. So Me'echate say that it's day hours.
No, because it's based upon when between the Suda and Suda was, you know, because in those days, you know.
So that's my point. My point is that if you're counting night hours, it's much longer.
No, they're not counting night hours. It's all because they only ate by day.
Oh, I see.
You know, they never had a late, you know, after dark. By dark, they were better at it. They had electricity. So Megagessen was still day. You see that very, from the beginning, Brachis, if you remember, we'll start the Dafyom again. They ate very, very carefully, but Ba'od Yom, there was still enough light, because once the darkness hit, they weren't going to eat in the dark anymore. So they always went ticklish to eat when there's still daylight. And then even Beikach LeBeinkach, this is the Shitas HaRambam. And I do want to mention to you that when it comes to Shitas HaRambam and the Rosh and the Rashba, this was unquestionably the Shita of the Mechab in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Sfardim would make it la halacha this way, especially by the fact that the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh held this way, that automatically made it unanimous. Why Sfardim, the Jews in Holland, were perished from the other minig of the Sfardim is a pelaployim, and I've never seen any work going into that specific historical phenomenon, but that would be something interesting for somebody to work upon as for a PhD thesis. But getting back to this specific question, there are some halachas, however, certain kulas and chumas I want to mention now, which are very fascinating. And that is, whether you hold the iser of 6 hour hamtana is because of basa ben shenayim or because of digestion, lends itself to the following shaylas. In time of yore, they didn't have baby foods that were pureed. So how did you puree a baby food for your baby?
The mommy chewed it.
And then after she chewed it in her mouth, she didn't swallow it, she then put it into the baby's mouth. That's the way Eskimos do that to this very day. And that's the way they puree. Now, so you're chewing the meat, but you're not swallowing it. According to the Shitas HaRambam, you surely have basa ben shenayim, but you don't have digestion according to the Rashi. So for the Rambam, if a Jewish woman did this, she'd have to wait 6 hours. For Shitas HaRashi, she says, I never went down to your kishkalach, you have to wait at all. Now, the reverse case. I swallowed it and never chewed it. According to the Shitas HaRambam, if I swallowed and never chewed it, there's no basa ben shenayim. According to Shitas HaRashi, it went into my kishkes, so it'll take longer to digest, but digestion and marach betamu will be there. So you have the reverse psak halacha. I'm going to get to dentures very quickly. I have a cute machlekes I found
it's
by dentures.
Flossing also.
Yeah.
So, because
ain't sorry be kinuach.
Yeah. That was in his. But what if you have a toothbrush?
I have a better thing. What happens if you're a dentist and you have the capacity to clean that person's teeth on such a level that there's nothing. So the Achrayim asked that question.
There's a low plug.
There's a low plug. All of this is subject to a low plug.
Just thinking that, Rabbi, what about people have, for example, a nasal gas or two, and they get pureed meat, goes right into the stomach without any sensitivity.
Right.
Do they have to wait? How long do they have to
So wait? According to the Rabbi, they wouldn't have to wait at all. According to Rashi, they would still have to wait.
Digestion.
Yeah, because there's still digestion taking place. That's another nafka mita. What is interesting, halacha lamasa, is that the tour, and later on the Shulchan Aruch says, we should be naked both chumris, which meant whichever way we go, whether you chew it and then swallow it, vice versa, we have to be naked both chumris. However, if Shlomo Kluger comes up with a very important kula, that is very important. A person is a master chef, and he wants to make sure before his food goes out there, to be able to taste it, to make sure it's on the level that he wants, all the seasoning's there. But the problem is, let's say he's making a beautiful, delicious, delectable fleishik asuda, but he doesn't want to make himself fleishik. So Zokrav Shlomo Kluger, if he tastes the flavor without chewing it, without swallowing, which means he puts it in, he tastes it with his tongue, and immediately spits it out, does not chew it, which means there was no chewing or swallowing, then the only thing he got to do is rinse his mouth out, and he can eat milchus immediately. And we pass it. So Shlomo Kluger is the one who says, the maskana, therefore, based upon this, is a kula, which we accept halach lamas. V'chein ogim, this is an important kula. Now, the next thing I want to mention, that halach lamasa over here, we so far see that there is a 6-hour minig, a 1-hour minig, the 3-hour minig, I told you where that came from. So the question which the poskim have over here is, that's everything if you're healthy and you're fine and you're wonderful. What happens if a person has a certain stomach ailment and such that requires him to continuously eat milchiks as much as he possibly can? So if I had a fleishik asuda and the doctor says you've got to eat milk continuously and I normally would have a minig of 6 hours, but there's to be his physical ailment, he'll suffer. He's not going to stand to be sakana stafashais, but he'll suffer pain, which means he'll be a chalosh ein by sakana. So who's tut deyid in that case? So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chacham HaSadim say very explicitly that when you're dealing with a chalosh ein by sakana, that even though they had a minig of 6 hours, in that case they could reduce it down to 1 hour. You don't have to move. You can rely upon the 1 hour halacha. Since all of this is chumras anyway, we rely upon 1 hour. I mean, the fact of the matter, Abbas, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, going back to Tzvi's question, what you're really doing is you're going back to the minig Ashkenaz HaKadmon before you change it to the 6 hour, because the minig Kadmon was waiting 1 hour. The Rambam changed it from 1 hour to 6 hours. So what you're saying is we're going to rely now upon the earlier minig Ashkenazim and basically wait 1 hour. Of course, if you do that, you know, they will want you to rinse out your mouth, kinuach v'hadocha, you can go from fleishiks to milchiks, but nevertheless, and that applies not only to a chelsh embos sakana, but even a yoledus or menekes, who feel they need to eat milchiks continuously to give them nourishment and such, they also can reduce it down to 1 hour for the purposes of physiological need and necessity.
Why don't they go to the Tosfos Shita that you don't have to wait at all?
No, because we're talking about the fact. No, but what you're actually doing. What you're basically doing is even though I had the minig of 6 hours, because I accepted Ramah's Chumrah, and this became the minig HaMakom of Ashkenazic Jewry, B'shas HaDechak, which we're saying is we allow you to go back to the earlier minig of the Ashkenazim, before the Ramah changed it, and rely upon the 1 hour Shita, but that Shita requires a Kutim Eni Paskim HaDachah V'Kinuach, so that's basically what you do. Now, when it comes even to Mechanech children, when it comes to these halachas, I just want to mention, as we go further in the Sugya, the consensus of Poskim, and many women don't do this, but they put chumas upon the kids. The consensus of Poskim is, when up to 3 years of age, a child doesn't have to wait at all. Doesn't have to wait at all. Now, I know parents, though, they drive the kid nuts after the 2. But according to the Poskim, up until 3, up and out including, no time is needed. Just make sure, you know, wash out whatever it is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. When the child is 3 years old, up until 5, 1 hour. 1 hour. When the child is 5, you mechanech a child in 3 hours. You only superimpose upon the child the requirement of 6 hours when they come 10 and older. That's the consensus. This is the consensus of the Gedolei Poskim and Ashkenaz. So you give the child chinuch shas until you switch. The reason I'm saying this is because the many parents I know, when the child, the child was 5 and 6, you know, if you don't hold 6 hours, they're going to throw you out of the household. According to this consensus of Poskim, 3 hours is what you do when it comes to a 5-year-old child, and when you're 10 and older, if you're physically healthy, that's when you start mechanech them for the 6-hour concept. Now, let's go a little further over here. We therefore see that according to these Pelskim, halacha lemaase, different minhagim developed concerning this specific concept, and quite obviously you have over here different minhagim hamakamos developing as a result of it, and even a change in minhagim hamakamos based upon the various shitas I've quoted up until this point in time. What I want to do over here is now switch the gears in the opposite direction, and that is the zman hamtana if milchix first, and fleshix afterwards. Now, what I want to show you is quite interesting. Look in the Rambam text on page number 5. Now, if you remember, the Gemara said between Gavina and Basa, it says v'lo klum. So based upon the Gemara in Daf 4, which is Daf Kufhei in Masechta Schulin, there's no Zman Hamtana mentioned whatsoever. It says v'lo klum. If you look in the Rambam on Halacha Chavav, you have it Maram Kamos?
Yeah.
We have plenty over here. We got plenty. We got plenty. Give him his own. Well, I'll autograph it for you. The Rambam says in Allah Chavav, Misha ochel gavina, ochalav techila, muta lechel achra basamiyat. If you notice, the Rambam follows the Gemara's Mahalich. There's no zman hamtana whatsoever. He uses the word miyat. However, Tzarech sheidiach yadav yikanech piv. You have to wash your hands and your mouth. Ben gvina ben habasa. Bamer mekanech. What do you use for wiping it out? He says, pas, bread, peras, fruit, shalowasin, ubolim, apoltam. You either swallow them afterwards or you spit it out. Ubekom mekanech as a peh, except for tamarim, dates, kenech, flour, or yarakos. What happens is not only doesn't clean out, but sometimes it causes, because of the stickiness, to become more embedded in your teeth. Now listen to this. Halacha chavzayim, b'merduva mamurim, b'basa b'heima achaya, that you're eating milchix first and b'heima and chaya afterwards. So therefore, you have to follow these strictures. Avam achla basa ov, achsha achla gavino chalav. But what happens if I had milchix first and I had then chicken afterwards? So the Rambam paskins, ain't tzarech lakunuch l'peh, lo netilas yadayim. I go straight from milchix to fleshix without the harchokos in between. Now, what's interesting is, where did the Rambam get this from? He has to get it from someplace. So that goes back to page number 4. If you look on page number 4 of the Maariv Makamos, on top of the page, if you remember on Daf Kuf Dalet on the base, the Gemara quoted a very interesting brisa where I have quotation D, or actually quotation above quotation on the top of the page. Tana igra chamura de Rav Abba, of u gavina necholim baf kurin. That meat of an oaf and gavina are eaten in the state of hefkeres. And what does that mean? Below netilas yadayim u below kenir chapeh. Now, if you notice, he mentions oaf first and gavina afterwards. What I am telling you is that the Rambam and many Rishonim say it's lav bedafka in that sequence. What he means is when you have milchix and basa oaf afterwards, the strictures you normally find by regular meat of kinuach v'adach are not applicable. And therefore, for that, you go straight from cheese to basa oaf without kinuach v'adacha, take it from yad. Why? What's the reason behind it? What's the reason behind it? So the reason behind it is twofold. Number one, the assumption is that milchix does not have the qualities of meat, which means milchix normally doesn't get stuck between your teeth. Number two is milchix normally is very easily digestible. So therefore, the whole reason of hachaka and all the other chumris you have when it comes to meat first and cheese afterwards doesn't apply to cheese first and fleshix afterwards. Number two is the whole Iser of Oif Bechalav is a derabana. Basa Behema and milk is a deraisa when it comes to the Bishul part. So Chazal said, even if you cook basa of and milk, the most you would violate is Issa Derabbanan. To put more chumras upon that would be much like you're making gezeros, legzeros, legzeros. So the harchaka of kinuch v'hadocha between milchiks and oifis, Chazal did not promulgate, because of itself bechlal in its full picture is a derabbanan, and bas behema b'taras hachaka, since it's a deraisa concept, even on a rabbinic level they put hachaka as a kinuch v'hadocha. The big shale is how we treat chaya, because we pass on like Rabbi Kiva that chaya meat and milk is only mederabbanan, not deraisa. So chaya milk. Deer meat, because behemoth means specifically cows, sheep, and goats. All the other stuff, venison, all the other stuff that you have that in the fancy places today, which is chaya meat, is only basa b'chol of the rabban, not the raisa. That sheet is Rabbi Kiva. We pass on that way.
Where's buffalo?
Buffalo is a chaya. Therefore, if that's the case, do we medamit to ofos, and therefore not require any kinuch for hadacha? That's one sheet of poskim. Other poskim say that since the texture of chayim meat, Rabbi say, the texture of chayim meat, especially that type of chaya, a buffalo, is similar to calf meat, and it's very difficult to distinguish between them, but Teres Maras Ayin Chazal said, we don't differentiate over there, and whatever kinuch v'hadocha you do for actual behemah, you would do for chayas that are very similar in texture to that of a regular behemah, so that's the way most poskim paskin over there. But what's interesting and fascinating is I don't know how many people realize that between milchiks and between fleishiks of ifis, you go one to the other, halach lamasa, without kinuch v'hadocha. I don't know how many people even realize that concept. But now we come to a major machlokas poskim achreinim in the following question. When I go from milchiks to fleishiks, it says v'lo klum. Why do some people wait 15 minutes, 18 minutes, 30 minutes, some way to an hour? Once again, that's the hashpa of the Zohar I mentioned before, where it says lebesud achas uba ulisha achas. So some said, I'll wait an hour between milchus and fleishik. Some said, what are you talking about? The schumi, the mercy is lo klum. Shoyin ginik a half an hour. What's this? 18 minutes. You know, machbaka matzah. 15 minutes. That's how these menhagim came to existence. But meikadin, there's no need of a hamtana whatsoever. It's the Zohar that played the impact when it came to those halachas. What is fascinating, however, is the following machlekes. Between fleishiks and milchiks, we saw most poskim require a bracha achreina. What about between milchiks and fleishiks? So this ends up being a major machlekes poskim. The shita quoted by the Darche Tshuva, that's the Munkacha Rebbe Sefer, he requires halach lamasa between milchiks and fleishiks, the teresuda acheres ukedema a bracha achreina. The Mishabura brings down b'shem the Magen Avraham, that between milchus and fleishiks, the halach is, since it doesn't say you have to have a suda besuda over there, I just am salek the milchiks, I wash my hands, change the tablecloth, put new bread and new utensils, I can then go to fleishiks without requiring a bracha achrona. Halach lamasa, this is brought down as a machlokes, simin tuf tzadi dalid, dealing with shvuas at night. Many people have minig shvuas at night to be yaitzah, the divini milchiks and shvuas, to start the night suda with milchiks, the wash, and then be masik the suda, wash off my mouth, wash off my hands, change the tablecloth, and then go to fleishiks afterwards. The Mishnah Berurah says, I just masalik, wash my hands, kinuach v'hadach k'dayma, change the tablecloth, new bread, whatever it is, and without a bracha achrona, I can go, whatever my zman hamton is, I can go straight into fleishiks. That's the Shita's Mishnah Berurah, like the Magen Avraham. The Darche Tshuva says, no, that on Shavuos at night, if you're going to do that in one meal, you have to also recite a bracha achrona between the first Suda and the second Suda, which means there bedafik you have to wait for another reason. You should make a bracha shein etzericha, so therefore you have to have another hafsaka to make sure it shouldn't be too close to each other. But that is halach lamasa, a very famous machlokes that exists when it comes to that specific contingency. What's interesting from the Gemara, you'd never know it, because the Gemara never mentions. He just says lo klum, but that's a time frame phenomenon.
That's the only chiluk, because He didn't wait from Basar to Chalav either. All he did was.
Who's he? Who's the he?
Marukva
used to wait from Suda to Suda. Suda to Suda.
According to
Taisvis, he didn't wait at all. Zman. There's no Zman Hamtana. But it had to be a Suda Acheres.
Right,
so the Bracha Achrona, the Bracha
Achrona,
and the Siluk allowed it to be such. If you say that there's no concept of suda l'suda when it comes to milchiks, the mashmo, and you'll have to have a suda cheres, because Moses doesn't say suda cheres, that would mean the need for bracha achrona is apipashlus, like the Magen Avraham, or like the Mishnah Berurah. That would be the pashlus of the shitchias, the flow of the sugi itself. Now, what I do want you to know is that the fact of the matter is, for intellectual honesty, there was a shitas Rabbein Tam and a Baal Halachas Gedolos and such, that I mentioned Bariches on the Tosus Adaf Kuv Dalit Amid Beis, which you have on page 4. And the question over here is, between Fleishiks and Milchiks, especially when you're dealing with Ophos, what do I got to do between a Fleishik or Ophos meal and a Milchik meal afterwards? He wanted to interpret, when Rav Abba says, between Of Ugevina Necholim Bef Kevin, that has to be taken bedavka. That even when you had ofas first and halach lamasa givina afterwards, I can go from one to the other, belin atilis yedai beli kenua chapeh, which means since the whole iser oif and chalav is a derabanan, Chazal did not make the hachachas of having to go crazy with the suda cheres, and therefore, if that's the case, as long as I'm mafsik with the bracha achrona, that's sufficient. I don't have to have any other major activities taking place between fleishiks of an eifis and between milchiks. Some say, according to him, you don't even have to have a bracha achron. You just have to make sure that there's nothing on your hands visibly that could be seen, but otherwise I can go straight for one for the other. And that was a very, very cool dikashita of the Shita Rabbeinu Tam and Ramban and others that is quoted halach lamasa. That's brought down by the Taisvis in quotation E on page number 4. Yeah, the pashtus of the girsa, the pashtus of the girsa seems to indicate efficacy to that specific sheet. There's no question about that. I agree with you. Now the big question that arises, we're going to end with this, is this 100% foolproof, or are there any other exceptions to the rules? So there's a very famous story. The story is that the Maram of Rutenberg used to make fun of people who used to wait between milchus and fleishiks, calling it a chum yaserta, and etc. He really used to blast people for making such a chumus, and the Gemara says, v'lo kulum, until something happened. One time, he was eating, and all of a sudden he found, when he was eating fleishiks, a geshmak, a piece of hard cheese still stuck between his teeth. And he almost chalashed. He then realized that Minashamayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu was censuring him for making fun of everybody else who made even partial hachakis. He therefore goes upon himself a chumrah that between hard cheese and fleishiks, he waits the same exact zman as between fleishiks and between milchiks. So if you accept the 6-hour shita, he would then wait between hard cheese and fleishiks 6 hours. If you accept the 3-hour shita, you have to wait 3 hours. You accept, but obviously the 1 hour, it means the Zman is basically filtered into the picture itself. The only question is, what's halach lamasa considered hard cheese to come under this category? Now, the way the Achronim define it, hard cheese is in this respect considered similar to basa because of two reasons. Since it's hard cheese, it's hard to digest. Therefore, it's macha b'tamay. Vis-a-vis teeth, since it's very hard, it gets stuck in the crevice of your mouth, kosher in a solid kenuach. So the same reason that you had for meat applies now to hard cheese. So what is categorized as such? So I was trying to look at different lists of the different kashas agencies out there. Everybody has a different list. But the one that I found, Starkey, the OK, the OU, I haven't found a list for them, but the Starkey OK, this is what they claim are based upon contemporary brands, their chiluk. They say in their mind that Swiss cheese, Romano cheese, Parmesan cheese, this is considered hard cheese, especially if it's aged for 6 months or more, and you have to wait the 6 hours. According to them, when you're dealing with American cheese, Munster cheese, mozzarella cheese, and surely the soft cheeses, that you basically finish the milchik meal and do the proper kinuach and hadacha, and you don't got to wait at all. I did see Rav El Yashiv and other gedolim making by themself a chumra lo plug that everything is a hard cheese, so they would be machmir even on American Munster and mozzarella as a lo plug.
But their children don't.
Their children don't. But that's their personal chumra. But the fact of the matter is, for this you'll find different minhagim. You find different minhagim. But it goes back to the Maram in Rutenberg. That's where it basically dates back to. In Sfadish communities who did not accept the minhag of the Maram in Rutenberg, they don't have this chumrah. But in Ashkenazi communities looked upon the Maram as the major pasuk for the gedolim of that generation, they accept it.